I suppose this quote would work for trains, too. Ships at a distance have every man's wish on board. For some, they come in with the tide. For others, they sail forever on the horizon, never out of sight, never landing until the watcher turns his eyes away in resignation, his dreams mocked to death by time. That is the life of men. And that's the very, very opening, very pregnant opening to Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God. My son reminded me recently of a story from the historical record, don't remember where we read it, about the experience of a first encounter of an earth-connected tribe with a ship bearing Europeans. The ship sat on the horizon and they could not see it. What we've learned from Alice is the power of our early childhood experience to place its delimiting stamp of interpretation on all subsequent experience. And what we've learned from both Proudhon and Alice and Prince is that growing up is not just about, or best described as, loving ourselves, but more accurately, owning ourselves, being in command of our own expansion. Another term for which is becoming big, expanding to absorb all the knowledge we need for our capacities and our purpose to meet. So we look to our tribe to model this quality of bigness so that we may emulate and surpass them in it, in being what is uniquely human, and advance thereby our global, our entire global humanity. This occurs naturally. It requires no force. It is our biological inheritance, our gift from the earth. Who illustrates this better than Nikola Tesla and Prince? I mean, Nikola Tesla flat out said, you try to force me, you paralyze me, I can't work like that. We want to give our gifts, okay? We know this. You know, this entire system built on force and manufactured scarcity is an abomination, long overdue for us to end. Our biological inheritance, our gift from the earth, from the eternal, from the all of it, our gifts. As we said last week, we need to see a model of freedom before we can emulate it, become big ourselves, believe in what we know when we came. And once fascism has its fangs in us, we need to regain speech and judgment, our authentic thought process. We need speech to claim ourselves as real. We have become invisible to ourselves. We no longer see our true purpose, enmeshed as we've been made to be in the ruler's dreams. We have become invisible to ourselves. And it takes a minute, a moment, years, once we see ourselves reflected back, whether through our seeing the death mask we have become staring back at us in an actual mirror, or in the mirror of someone stunningly vibrant, a prince of love, there to help us see it, see that we are done before begun unless we take stock, do an assessment of what we've been doing and what we want. Last week we said that those who struggled with Socrates' dilemma eventually came to see education as key. But the education needed is of a specific kind. A kind that returns speech to the muted and sight to we made blind. We could not see Prince because his vibrancy and certainty conflicted with our early childhood experience, during which we learned nothing was certain. This was a hurt, a wound that silenced us and blurred our vision. But having the words and the discussions and the joyful experiences that explain that hurt, that process of abnegation, returns to us our voices and vision.